This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The ball is stripped, the ball is loose, and time is out! Time is out! SIUE is going dancing! The SIUE Cougars have knocked off the Redhawks 69-48 in their 17th season in Division I. The Cougars are going to the big dance!
It is the Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and yes, for the first time ever, SIUE is in the NCAA tournaments. They will play their first round game today. It is happening at 1 o'clock, and we are getting ready for it. Joining us now to talk about it is a sports host here at KMOX. He is the voice of SIUE men's basketball, SID, at the university. Joe Pott is with us. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to get to this point, to be at this day. It feels like a long time. It's been a week since SIUE has played, since they wrapped up the OVC title. So I'm excited to be at this time now.
So what's going on in Wichita?
Wichita, man, I didn't ever have any anticipation of being so excited to go to Wichita, but that's where we're at, and that's where, did media day yesterday, did the typical athletes and coaches on the podium, and then you got to do your open practice, and it was the arena was probably, I don't know, not quite half full, but a ton of people, it felt like, for the open practice, and all the media, of course, there to check it out. It really started feeling real yesterday.
What about, have you talked to the team much, the players, just been around the vibe of, kind of making history here with being the first SIUE team to make it to the tournament?
100%. I mean, I think they feel that. They understand, like, what this means in the lore of SIUE basketball, if you will. I think that they're proud of the fact that they did this and that they're the first team to go through this. At the same time, it is also, a road trip. It's a game. And they have said over and over, they don't prepare for a game that they don't think, that they're not going to go out there and try to win. Do they understand the odds? Of course they do. But they are preparing for this game like they would prepare for any other road game against another team that they're trying to ultimately go out there and win a game.
And they're playing against a number one seed in Houston, which is a very, very good team. Obviously, you don't get that one seed unless you are. So, I mean, not to get too deep in the weeds here, but X's and O's type stuff here against a team like that. What does SIU even try to do against them?
Yeah, so I think one of the kind of the overarching themes is we're not going to get away from what we do. We may have to modify things a little bit, so it might look a little bit different offensively as opposed to a straight line drive. Maybe you have to come from a wing or you have to come from the slot. Maybe you have to retreat, dribble a little bit, right? Pull it back, reverse the ball. There's got to be a lot of ball movement there. Houston's good offensively and good defensively. SIUE is a very good defensive team. I believe it's going to be a defensive battle. Neither of these teams go nuts offensively, and both of them do a really good job holding their opponents, scoring down, shooting down. So I think that it's kind of going to be a battle of defenses in that regard.
So, of course, you know, you mentioned them knowing what they're up against, and the odds of a 16 seed beating a 1 seed are slim. It's the record all time. Number 1 seeds are 154-2 against number 16 seeds. And I say all this because who do you think is more aware of the odds? The fans who are watching the games but know what the team's up against, or the players themselves who are going on the court?
I think both know. I think the guys have heard it enough. They've heard that stat the same number of times everybody else has. For the most part, these guys are the same guys that are, you know, picking brackets every other year and filling out their picks as anybody else would. So I think they know, you know, those odds. But again, they also would like to be that third time, right? Third time's a charm, maybe. Yeah. They want to be the third team to do it.
I feel like fans have the luxury of being cynical or being realists, but don't the players? You have to go into the game believing you have a chance. You have to.
100%. Amy, I think that's exactly right. And I think that's what's been so good about this team this year. I mean, the first road trip they took was to Indiana and to Illinois and to face two Big Ten teams on the road. And that is absolutely 100% their approach, is that we're preparing for a game like we prepare for any other game, and a game that they want to go out and win.
Well, how about on the other side? How aware are it if you're Houston, which, I mean, they were those one seeds were undefeated historically up until, what, about a decade ago? A little bit less than that, I guess, now. And now it's happened a couple of times. So they have to be, that always has to be back there if you're that number one seed, even if you know you're really, really good.
Oh, I definitely think it is. And I think, again, that's human nature, that they're hearing the same thing. Oh, this should be easy. You have no challenge here. Look at this record. You're a one seed. You're going to sail through, cruise on through. Yeah, we all know that there's plenty of upsets. That's not always 16-1, obviously, but there's plenty of upsets in the first couple of days of the NCAA tournaments. Do you think any of those teams went in there and said, you know what, we're going to be that team that loses today? No, they certainly didn't, but I guarantee you they do know that, and they have heard that as well.
Okay, not to belabor this point, but I do think when it comes to upsets, I think upsets are probably tougher in basketball just because of the individual impact players can have. But you see why big football schools don't like to play these random small schools, right? On the off chance that they lose and it hurts their rankings. Is it a bit different in basketball because those big name players, because it's the five guys on the court, have a bit more control of a game than the greatest quarterback would on a football field?
I mean, maybe in some regard, but I mean, I think that if the other side of that is there's a really good player that plays for SIUE that is an all district performer. He's the player of the year in the OVC. I mean, all of these things, he has been really good for his entire career. And a guy like that can affect a game. If you're Houston, he can affect a game very adversely. I guarantee you that they are game planning for a guy like Rayshon Taylor. Now there's a couple of those guys that play for Houston as well. So yeah, I don't know if it's different football to basketball wise, but if there's a venue for it, this is the venue for it, the tournament.
Talking with KMOX host and voice of the Cougars, Joe Pott, with us on KMOX. We had a chance, was it, I guess now 2 weeks ago, right after SIUE found out they were in the tournament. We talked to Brian Baroni, and he is great personality. Really loved talking to him. Do we know where the scissors are and where the frame for the scissors? Has that been located? My understanding is he wasn't sure.
He definitely has the scissors. I've seen the scissors since then. I don't know about the frame. That was the last that I had heard, is maybe that frame had been maybe left in Evansville. I'm not really positive.
Yeah.
But he had the He had the scissors with him at the watch party on Sunday at the selection watch party on Sunday. So at least I know that by Sunday they were located and he had them then.
And you took a plane, right?
We did.
All right. So you just pack it in luggage?
I guess so, probably. Okay. I don't know.
It's got to be checked luggage.
It has to be checked.
At this point, the scissors can wait another week, right? Because you don't need the scissors till the regional final.
But it's a good luck charm.
So maybe they're safe. Maybe they're still safe at home in Edwardsville.
Do you know, Joe, because I had heard that there was a bus that left early this morning with something like 50 or 60 students on it from Edwardsville to go to Wichita to make it there for the game. Do you have any idea how many Edwardsville fans are going to be in attendance or approximate?
I know that whatever our allotment was for tickets, it was gone really quickly. I did see that there was a bus that left early this morning.
At least one. There might have been more. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I know that there were people that left early this morning from campus, but I think there's going to be a lot of Cougar fans. Well, a lot of SIUE Cougar fans in the stands today.
Oh, that's right. It's Cougars versus Cougars today. We should probably point that out.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And I can't say red either because they're red, too. So
that's right.
Well, this is terribly confusing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So, Joe, what should we be on the lookout for today? Obviously, we're all going to be soaking it in because it's a very cool day for the university. Everybody is excited for them. But in terms of the game itself or what happens today, what should we be watching for?
You know, I think the cool thing is I think we're going to get a chance to kind of tell some of our stories, obviously stories that like you've heard and you've talked to Brian about, whether it's the scissors or it's the, you know, the put family into basketball that Brian is so proud of. And those kind of stories are kind of coming to light nationally. And he had some folks ask him about it yesterday at the media day, but they're going to continue to tell the story on the TV broadcast today. And I think the very big picture is there's going to be a lot more people that know what the letters SIUE mean after today than before today.
That's great.
Point. Yeah.
It's awesome to hear that because, as I mentioned when we talked to Brian, growing up in Granite, I would say the highest percentage of kids who went to college, the greatest percentage went there. So it was very closely attached to my high school. I know a ton of people who went there from around the area. So just to have it get a little bit of attention like this is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Joe Pott, enjoy the day today. Whatever happens, we appreciate it, and we will see you back here in St. Louis.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the support. Really appreciate it as well.
Awesome.
That is Joe Pott, sports host here at KMOX. You'll hear him on Cards pre- and post-game coverage. You'll hear him host Sports Open Line, and you will hear him call SIUE men's basketball today against 1 o'clock, the 16 seed taking on the number 1 seed, Houston Cougars in the NCAA tournament. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
It's a pie that's amore.
We're doing our pizza tournament. We are still accepting your submissions to it. All you have to do is text into the show at 314-436-7900.
Listen.
Or tweet at us at Chris Amy KMOX. Yeah. And if you're not following that already, what's your problem? But Odyssey app too, if you want to drop us a voice message, we'll take them. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. We're going to reveal the bracket. We've gotten a lot of people who have offered their suggestions today. There's a place called Mazzio's. I guess they're in Highland.
How do you spell it?
Mazzio. So okay. It must be Highland, Illinois. Sam's Pizza.
Where's that? I don't know about Sam's.
Downtown.
Okay.
I am unfamiliar with Sam's also. So let us know if you've got one.
And also, remember, I know we keep bringing up the Pasandwich Pascandal. That was not our fault.
That was the listener's fault.
That was the listener's fault. That was your fault. So we really need you guys to participate in this. And it's going to be fun because people will be voting on Twitter, correct?
They're going to get a chance to vote on Twitter,
yeah.
Yes.
So that's going to be, that's a lot of fun. I look forward to that like every round because it's a thread that you'll get to vote on the different pizza places. So you have to click on that thread and then you vote and it's a lot of fun. And we got to have a winner, man, not a scandal. Yep.
And you have to be following at Chris Amy KMOX in order to vote. So you better get on that. Follow us on Twitter, man. And look, what Amy said is correct. If the outcome isn't what you want, you have nobody to blame but yourself for not voting.
That's right.
Because that's what happened last time. I mean, hey, I got a real quick thing that is, I still don't understand this, but because the tournament really got started today, the NCAA tournament, if you're involved in a bracket, you probably have to Venmo somebody some money in order to be part of it, like $5, $10, $20, whatever you're doing. I still don't understand Venmo comments.
Like why they're like, public?
Yeah, like because there's a timeline of people paying other people for stuff. Why do I need to see that Steve paid Tom $25 for some nondescript thing they're not being clear about? Why do I need to know? Hey, thanks, man, for a fun night out. Like, why do I?
You know
why
how
do I need that?
This is Venmo and the public nature of Venmo, how it's like a social media app. It's worse than seeing random posts on Facebook of somebody that you went to high school with. And you're like, who, why am I seeing this? With Venmo, it could be very loose acquaintances, like Matt, your neighbor, or Bob, your neighbor, right? Bob, your neighbor, paid Susie $17.
Well, she'll stiff you. And she's been doing that a lot.
But, like, why? Why do we care? Whose idea? I mean, I guess it was Venmo's idea. But why was it Mr. Venmo's idea to make this transactional history public?
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
And the thing is, my Venmo is private. I think Venmo is very useful, obviously, for paying people. But it's private. Why do people even have Venmo public? I don't get it. Why would you, like, you joined a bracket. And you paid Judy $5 to join a bracket. Why do they care? Why does anybody care?
I'm looking at one right now where Walesa, I don't know who that is, paid Shane a certain amount of money, it doesn't say what, for focaccia. I guess they bought some bread.
Isn't it focaccia?
And here's one. Anton gave Pete money for thanks, bro. That's what it said.
Yeah, whoa,
why do I need this?
It's focaccia.
This is, look, everything doesn't... Okay, can we not get stuck on something stupid? Why do we need timelines for everything?
You know what I like? I like that you can tell it's March Madness because here's my Venmo timeline right now. Doug paid John, bracket. Trevor paid John, bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Brett paid Joe, brackets. You can tell.
Why? Just
Terry
it really
paid
is
Hannah,
completely useless.
Bracket. Alex paid John. Bracket. What is this? Why do we care?
I don't know.
Now this is.
I get it, Venmo. You want to be a social media app. You want people to hang out on it. Nobody's hanging out on Venmo to read the timeline. They pay people money and then they go away.
Hey,
it's just a really silly thing.
Tammy paid Derek for boat vinyl.
Boat vinyl?
What's boat? Is that like lacquer?
Dude, I have no idea what that is. A couple of things we need to tell you about. First of all, we do have tickets to give away to see Collective Soul and Live. They are coming to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater July 17th, and we have a pair of tickets to give away to you right now. So we're looking for caller number
7
to the contest line 955-1120, 314-955-1120. Caller 7 will get those tickets. Don't worry if you lose today. You're probably going to. The odds are against you.
Your chances of winning are so slim.
So small. But you can come back tomorrow. You might have an opportunity tomorrow. We have one more pair of tickets to give away.
Excellent.
That is something we have to tell you about. We also need to update you on the First Pitch Breakfast, which is happening on opening day a week from today. Kegs and Eggs, by the way, very close to sold out.
Yeah.
I just saw the numbers.
Could be sold out.
Yeah, it might be, but you can try. Go to kmox.com/events for that. But prior to to Kegs and Eggs, which is at Ballpark Village at Cardinals Nation this year, we're doing it indoors. Prior to it is the First Pitch Breakfast, and that will be Vince Coleman telling stories about the 1985 National League Championship team. It's the 40th anniversary, in case you weren't aware. It's been 40 years since Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and Ozzie Smith, and now you know the whole deal, went to the World Series. So if you want to hear stories from Vince, they are not for air stories.
The
it's
only
stuff
way.
You will only get if you're there.
You got to get tickets, and there are some tables available, so If you missed out on a table for kegs and eggs, well, go ahead and buy a table for the first pitch breakfast. Go with your buddies. Then you can listen to us broadcasting live from Kegs and Eggs.
Yeah, we'll
be
there.
But you can't listen to the first pitch.
That gets started at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
It goes from 8 until 10:30. There is a Cardinals Nation breakfast menu that will be provided from 8 until 10. The Bottomless Mimosas, Bloody Marys, Budweiser, and all the food and all of that. Plus, you will get tickets for the game on Saturday. The Cardinals play that Saturday, March 29th. You get tickets for that as well. Right now, if you go to kmox.com/events and you click on the first pitch breakfast, 20% off your purchase with the promo code KMOX.
The Thorns lead by two, and the world is celebrating that.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX, and coming up this summer, June 3rd at Energizer Park, where City SC plays their home games. It's a new title for the field. The U.S. Women's National Team will be back here in St. Louis, and Women's National Team legend Becky Sauerbrunn is with us here on KMOX. Becky, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
Oh, doing okay here. And everything in St. Louis, and you know, growing up here, going to Ladue and all of that, it's such a great soccer town that, you know, we like to compare ourselves to other cities, and we've got this rivalry with Kansas City, which city is a better soccer city here in America. I just want to start there. I know you grew up here, so of course you're biased to it, as most of us are. But why is soccer such a big deal in St. Louis?
I mean, you got to look at the history of it. There have been games and leagues since the late 1800s through the 1900s. And so for me, just personal experience growing up in St. Louis, the access that I had to the sport, you don't see in a lot of cities in the U.S. I mean, I was going to St. Louis Ambush and Steamer indoor games on the weekends, and I had coaches who had coached at the highest levels. And so I just feel very fortunate that I grew up in St. Louis, because the history of it made it such a wonderful place to like grow into the player that I became.
Yeah. And I grew up in Granite City, just across the river, and it was a big deal over there too. So really it's an entire region thing.
Oh, it really is. And it's indoor, it's outdoor. You know, you look at the historic 1950s Men World Cup team, and how many of those guys were from St. Louis, like half the starting squad. And so, yeah, it's just a really rich history.
So, as I mentioned, the women's national team will be here June 3rd. You are going to be honored before the game, you know, right back here in your hometown, as the women's national team will play against China. What does this mean to you? What does it mean to you to have this honor coming your way?
Yeah, so I thought when I initially retired, I did it after the season. It was kind of a quiet, like, hey, thanks for everything, I'm out of here. Because I was actually kind of trying to avoid a little bit of the spotlight. And then I got a call from our press officer on the national team, and he was like, Becky, there's a game in St. Louis in June. We'd love to honor you before the match. What do you think? And it was just, it's just too perfect of an opportunity to pass up, because, you know, it's pretty rare as an athlete on the national team to even get to play at your hometown. And I've been very fortunate that for my 200th cap celebration, I got to play in St. Louis in 2023. And then to be honored for my retirement, you know, later this year in June, it just seemed too perfect. And so I'm really glad that it's happening. And to be able to do it in front of my, you know, friends and family, in front of the city that like just helped make me, seems just perfect.
How's that ticket request thing going? Are you getting a lot of those?
Yeah.
And what are you telling people? And how are you managing it?
Yeah, I'm hoping that U.S. Soccer, because you know they're the one that are honoring me, that they'll help me with these tickets. But I think I can cover my family. I just don't know about all the friends and everyone that's texting me. So hopefully they will all buy their own tickets, because I would feel very bad if they were relying on me.
I'll tell you what, it's a tough conversation to have with people. Like, hey, I'm sorry you didn't make the cut. You're gonna have to buy your own.
It's like a wedding invitation.
That's right. If somebody drops out, maybe we'll get you in. That's That's the way you could do it. It's such a great honor, and to be able to do it, you know, here in your hometown with that beautiful soccer stadium. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, you've been there before, but can you really think of anything better to have happen?
No, honestly, that's why I couldn't pass up the opportunity. The fact that it was in St. Louis at Energizer Park, you know, in June, it just worked out too perfectly for me to pass it up. And I feel very honored that they even want to honor me, and just to be able to do it. It's really a celebration for not me, but for the people who got me on this journey and who supported me throughout this journey. And so to be able to do that and, you know, get to celebrate my family and the coaches in St. Louis who made me. So it's really about the people who got me to this point.
Becky Sauerbrunn is with us here on KMOX. And, you know, you're talking about your retirement. And for an athlete, that is a very difficult thing to decision to ultimately come to, because it's a thing that you've done your entire life. And so it's hard to just say, okay, I'm finished now. How difficult was that for you, and how did you come to the realization? And then, you know, then eventually.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us, or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Make that transition?
It was difficult. I think if 2023 had gone better for me, I had a loss in my family and I missed out on the World Cup because of an injury. That wasn't the way that I wanted to say goodbye to the game. And so the 2024 season, I got to play with the national team one last time at the W Gold Cup, and we got to hoist a trophy. And then I got to play a full season with the Portland Thorns and really felt like I was a soccer player and I could say goodbye to the game that I wanted to say goodbye in that way. And so it felt like I still had something left in the tank, which I'm like, well, should I just play until the wheels fall off? And I wasn't sure that's how I wanted to say goodbye either. And so I left a little bit in the tank. And from what I've heard from a lot of recently retired players is that's how you want to say goodbye. You still want a little bit left. You know, you want to leave the party at the height of the party. You want to leave the game when you still got a little bit left in the tank. So so the decision, it was tough, and I'm still coming to peace with the decision, but I do think it was the right time.
Yeah. It's just for an athlete in particular, it's really tough to make that call because of you think about the amount of work you've put in over the course of your entire life to even get to the point where you can play so many games for a national team. And you did. You played a ton of games for the women's national team. So as you look back on all of those, you have the Olympic appearances, the World Cup games that you were in, how well do you remember the first one of those? And when you look back on that,
do you have any really, I guess, vivid memories of it? And if you do, what are the things that you think about when you think about that very first game where you're on a big stage like that?
Oh, yeah. I can think of 2011 World Cup in Germany. I had just made the squad. I was kind of like a last second addition. I wasn't expected to play at all. I was just kind of a support person there in case. And there was a red card. One of our center backs got a red card in the match before. And I was like, surely they're not going to play me. They'll figure out a way to finagle the back line so they don't start me. And the coach brought me in and was like, yeah, you're going to be starting in the semifinal of a World Cup against France. And that, I mean, I remember that so distinctly because I was craving so much to be on the field and to play because this was my dream. I mean, you know, every young soccer player's dream is to play at a World Cup to represent your country. And here I was, like, not expected to play. And all of a sudden I'm starting in a semifinal. And I remember telling my family and my partner, and I think they were more nervous than I was, to be honest. But the game went really, really well. And I remember leaving the field thinking, like, that was the moment where I realized that I could do this. And I think every athlete kind of needs that moment where they just start to believe in themselves a little bit more. And that was that moment for me where I was like, I can do this. I can play at this stage.
Becky Sauerbrunn is with us on KMOX, and you know, the you have those moments, and then coming back to St. Louis, do you remember coming back home for the first time after you played in that game, and what was it like when that happened?
It was great. I mean, it was just kind of, you just go back to your hometown and you hang out with your family, and they're like, yeah, that was cool. Like, we're really proud of you, but everything just kind of goes back to normal, which is how it should be. Of course, you know, I've got club coaches. I played for JB Marine Soccer Club for a really long time. And so of course they want to honor you, and you go out and you see some of the younger players and you just try to be a good role model and everything. And yeah, it's funny because you work so hard, you reach these heights, and then you kind of are at the top of that mountain and you're looking and you're like, okay, what's the next one? And that's, I think, what's so amazing about this women's national team is that one is never enough. You know, you get a gold medal at the London Olympics and you're like, all right, well, I guess we should win the World Cup in 2015. And so it's just this ongoing thing, and it becomes almost just like a natural feeling.
Yeah. And the next chapter for a lot of people who played and are good at articulating the sport like you are is to, you know, become a broadcaster, to become an analyst. When did you decide you wanted to do that, and how did that come about? Because you will be part of the TNT broadcast. It's also going to be on Max, I believe. You can watch it. So this women's national team game June 3rd against China, you'll be on and part of that broadcast. So how did you decide you wanted to do that?
I had a producer who, in the soccer world, has kind of been in my ear for a few years, just saying like, hey, are you interested in doing TV? We would love to have you on. And I was always kind of hemming and hawing, being like, you know, I just want to just focus on playing soccer. You know, maybe when I retire. And then pretty much like the hour after I announced my retirement, he had called me and said, hey, what do you think about it now? And so I was like, yeah, let's give it a shot. And so I was really fortunate that I got to join the TNT broadcast crew for the most recent She Believes tournament. So I got to do three games and just kind of learn the ropes and really, really enjoyed it. I also had a great team around me, which makes such a difference. And then I also have been doing a podcast with two of my teammates, Sam Lewis and Lynn Biondolo, last year and into this year. And so I've been kind of dipping my fingers in some of the broadcasting stuff. And I've realized that I do really enjoy it. I think it's really important to tell these athletes' stories. And it's a responsibility that I take very seriously. I want to do it very authentically and really do these players justice. And so I'm enjoying it. It is weighty. It is a difficult thing because you want to do it well. So kudos to you and everyone else that does this. But I do find it very enjoyable. And so I hope to continue to do it.
If you ever listen to this show, it's it could be a whole lot better, Becky. It could be way better than it is. But it's a different skill set, you know, and to be able to do this and play the sport at a high level, that's really difficult to do, to have both of those. So actually good on you for it.
Well, yeah, I don't think I would have been able to do it at the same time. So I'm glad I waited until I retired. But yeah, it's a whole new world.
So the women's national team, it has, over the years, it gets a lot of interest. And women's soccer has been a big deal here in the country for a long time. How has the sport, especially from the women's side, how has it grown, or how have you seen it grown since your playing days?
Oh, I mean, when I think about when I first started playing on the national team, so my first cap appearance was in 2008, and we would play a home match, a domestic game, and maybe get, I don't know, 7,500 people at the game. The stadium wouldn't be full. We probably weren't playing in the same stadium as we're at now. Sometimes we'd be at a college stadium or a smaller training stadium. And now you look at games and they're usually sold out. We're playing in beautiful soccer-specific stadiums, if not football stadiums, so that we can have higher attendance. I think about our fight for pay equality, how when this program first started, these women were fighting for a livable wage, let alone, you know, equal pay. And that's where we are now. And it's unbelievable how much the game has grown domestically. And then you look globally, and a lot of federations and a lot of countries have made a lot of strides, but there are still some who have refused to invest in their women's sides. And it's a real tragedy, because I think we are proof that if you invest, you will get a return of that investment. And the rest of the world, we're really hoping we can push along so that they can catch up.
You know, that's really what I was going to ask you, is how much more is there to grow? How much room for there is it?
There's so much room to grow globally. I mean, there are federations where the women's teams are fighting for the wages that were owed to them from a World Cup that happened in 23 in 2019. And there's just so much that still needs to be done. So many countries that don't even have women's sides so there's a lot of work to be done. And luckily there are, you know, player unions that are starting to hold federations accountable. And I'm hoping FIFA will continue to hold countries responsible. So there's a lot of work still to be done.
Well, Becky Sauerbrunn, we know that work is going to continue. We are looking forward to having you back here in St. Louis June 3rd as the women's national team will play against China. Becky will be honored prior to the game and then will be on the TV call on the TNT broadcast, part of the analyst team there as the women will play against China. It's going to be great to have you back in St. Louis, and maybe if you get here soon enough, come in studio and see us. We'd love to have you on again.
Oh, thank you so much.
That is Becky Sauerbrunn with us here on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
I dreamed a dream in time.
Congratulations to Kevin in St. Charles, who is the winner of the tickets to go see Collective Soul and Live. Collective Soul and Live, July 17th at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. It is going to be great, and we do have one more pair of tickets to give away, which we are going to do tomorrow. So if you missed your chance to win those tickets, you can win them tomorrow. We are excited about that. Kevin and St. Charles, congratulations. Also, don't forget that starting on Monday, we are moving our show to 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to go from 9 until noon, and we're going to be on 104.1 FM. So we are switching frequencies from, you know, no longer on 98.7. So if you've been trying to listen to us there, wondering where the hell we are, that's over.
Inside baseball, now. If people go, what is it like in a studio during the commercial breaks? What do they talk about? Usually I sing a lot.
It's garbage. It is so bad.
Well, first of
all, I wish you'd stop.
It hurt my feelings.
It hurts my ears.
I was singing songs.
I wish you would stop.
From Les Mis.
Yeah.
And
it's making me lay miserable. So would you stop? Please.
Anyway.
I'm begging you.
Ronch said I was a terrible singer.
Yeah.
And it hurt
me. You
know
sound like? You sound like those chickens with the little, you know, the rubber chickens where you squeeze and they go. That's what you sound like. So I wish you would stop singing.
I know. There's a chicken like that
yeah.
sings.
You ever heard the one where there's like 100 of them in a bin and a guy squeezed down on all of them? That's what you sound like.
I love that.
It's terrible. So please don't.
As we end the show, I'm going to unlock a fear for you. And it is a naval-based fear. Not belly button, but the sea. Because a Marine, you know, because you're afraid of big boats next to little boats.
Yeah.
You're afraid of norovirus on a cruise ship. correct?
Yeah.
You're afraid of cruises because you don't...
And now I'm afraid of flesh-eating fungus if there's a tornado.
Yeah. Well, there's that. But here's another boat-based fear for you, Ranj. So there was it's a ship. It was Cunard's, I guess that's how you say it, the Queen Anne cruise ship. This was a super long cruise.
Was it Titan? No, White. That was White Star, right?
Yeah, it was something else. Anyway. But this was, it's a really long trip. It's a 111-day trip. It began in Germany in January. It went through Australia and the Philippines. Well, guess what's another fear these seafarers had to deal with? Not just norovirus, but see, certain waters, Ranj, tend to be notorious for piracy and kidnapping.
So
there's a jihadist militant pirate group that is pretty active in these waters around Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. And so sometimes on this cruise that all these nice people were on, they had to turn off the lights and close the curtains and be quiet so they didn't get attacked by pirates.
Oh, come on. I don't need
what
that.
What in the world?
Although I think I'd rather have that than Legionnaire's disease.
Well, you don't get Legionnaires on a boat, do you?
I think so. And I'd rather have that.
I thought
that...
you only got Legionnaires on in hotels.
Well, like I said, a cruise ship is like a big floating hotel.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is.
So, yeah, I don't like that. I'd rather have the pirates than the plumbing that doesn't work.
So you tell me you would rather float through what is described as, quote, a hotbed for crime, piracy, and terrorism.
Yeah.
Than Legionnaire's disease.
Absolutely. I don't want Legionnaire's disease. I don't even know what it is.
What's a symptom of it? Coughing?
I have no idea.
I think it's coughing.
By the way, Cunard was the Lusitania, not Titanic.
Well, that's still not great.
Right. Oh, and then the reason I brought up the flesh-eating fungus, I watched the documentary on the Joplin tornado.
Yeah.
And I guess that it spread a fungus. I didn't even know that happened. It's awful. What are we doing? Oh, we're leaving. Got the Dave Glover show coming up.
The last crossover hour in the history of the world.
That's true. This is our final crossover hour with the Dave Glover show because we got the time change happening on Monday and the Cardinals baseball tomorrow first. So our final visit with the Glover show starts next on KMOX.